Good morning, planet Earth. You know, just drinking a little bit of water here. So good morning to my friends out there. It is Monday, Labor Day, September 7th. 2026. Get your kicks on Route 66. That's right, Route 66, baby. That's the new thing this year that the people are talking about in the hip zone. Get yourself a boyfriend. Get yourself a girlfriend. Get yourself a husband. Get yourself a wife. Get yourself a life. And then go home. Drink some hooch. Touch her cooch. And then do the Route 66. That's right, my throat's a little bit dry and scratchy. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for that, but I'm not really sorry. But it is September the 7th, 2026. It's almost 8 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. And what do you guys think? How you feeling? Crazy days, crazy times. So in a few days, we're going to celebrate September 11th. And we are going to see videos. In fact, we're going to see all kinds of new videos, restored videos, showing the planes hitting the buildings, and we're going to see interviews. We'll probably see brand new restored interviews of people remembering the day, people taking airplane lessons, people loading planes. It's going to drive you insane. But they're not going to talk about, you know, World Trade Center 7. They won't talk about that. Isn't that strange? So September 11th is kind of cringy for me, to be honest with you. I don't enjoy it. I feel like, in some ways, it is a deliberate re-traumatization of people utilizing a trauma that was never fully understood and really never ended. Kind of an open wound that kept tearing open. I think millions of lives around the world have been destroyed since September 11th, not just 2,992. And I'm not dismissing those lives, but I really don't think we know who did it. So getting into the mechanics of who to blame is a separate question. But an interesting question is, can you say it's over when you've killed a million people? Can you say it's over when you've dustified depleted uranium across, you know, 10% of the planet? Can you say it's over when you fully indebted the nation you're sworn to protect? Can you say it's over when it was probably over the very first day? But can you finally say it's over? And that's the reality. It's nobody can say it's over. Now we got the Iran thing. And here's the thing, folks. There will be a narrative spun. There will probably be a story. You might even see an interview on Fox News. And you might have already seen it. Where an edgelord, a sheepdog, an expert tells you, guess what? We just learned something brand new about September 11th. Did you know that on August the 5th, 2001, an envoy from Tehran met with Osama bin Laden and his masseuse? They did a deuce. Then they did Route 66. yeah, rub it there. Oh yeah, I should cut my hair. It's the Route 66 you get your kicks, buddy. Someone will be on one of these TV shows. Somebody will be on NBC or ABC. I don't even really know what the stations are, what the channels are, maybe CNN. And they'll tell you straight up that Iran worked with Al-Qaeda, that Iran funded Al-Qaeda, that Iran is really the missing link. And we might have even been wrong about Iraq. I mean, you might hear all kinds of sideways, psyop, upside down bullshit in the next few days. And I still ask the question, when's it going to be over? Because nobody talks about World Trade Center 7, except for a few engineers and scientists who understand how physics works, and they don't really get the microphone. Nobody talks about World Trade Center 7. Nobody really discusses all the giant question marks about what happened on September the 11th, 2001. But what clearly did happen as a result is that a lot of people around the world lost their lives, and they weren't all bad guys. And it was a number far greater than 3,000. And if you want to come out and make the argument that one American life is worth whatever, 10, 100, 1,000 other lives, fine, make the argument. But understand that type of blood battle, that type of revenge war, it never, ever ends until everybody is destroyed. So when I run into people and they want to talk about September 11th, I live in a small town. I've already had enough of a professional shakeup this year. I don't really, you know, if you know, you know. I try not to get too controversial, but what I can do is I say this to people. I say, just ask questions. I don't tell them my opinion. I don't give them a long speech. I don't explain to them how confusing it can be because you think you've found the answer, but what you've really done is just found another sheepdog. Another Alex Jones, another Joe Rogan, another fence sitter who will tell you all kinds of shit that's awesome, and some of it will actually be true. But they'll also make sure you stay inside the fence. All I can say to people is ask questions. That's all. And we are entering, and we have entered, if you remember 2020 and all of the big thinkery around how we should just trust experts. Great papers written by philosophers at the University of Washington and such places. Yeah, they've been setting us up for this idea that more so than just the subject matter. The very process of asking questions is now subversive. It is. Even the edgelords on YouTube, I tell you, they order off the menu. You recommend a menu item. I'm sorry, there are lots of menu items for what happened to Epstein. And suicide or murder are not the only options, dummies. In fact, if you understand the history of clandestine warfare, there are many, many, many other options in tradecraft than he was suicided or he was murdered or something. He might never have even been a fucking person, folks, but I don't want to go into that right now because a lot of people like to live in fantasy land. Just telling people to ask questions, especially at moments of national piety, when we're supposed to simply accept what we're told, being spoon-fed, being treated like baby birds, especially right now, just telling people to open up their minds and ask some questions, that is subversive. That is dangerous. That is problematic. And we are entering a period of time where just that process alone is going to be something that puts you in trouble, gets you into a bad spot. Because we've been told that certain things can't be questioned, you know. There are countries in the world today where if you question the Holocaust, I'm not saying even refute it, you simply dig into it historically. Where simply having an opinion that does not match the mainstream opinion can get you thrown in jail. Now, you could say, well, that's the Holocaust, Dan. That's the greatest, worst thing that ever happened. And maybe you're right. But everything that has ever happened is open to question. Why is this one magical event that gets used to justify so much carnage not open to question? My whole life, I've been told, we got to do this because of Hitler. You know, this guy's like Hitler. This is going to be like the Holocaust. It's one or the other. It's a Democrat, it's a Republican telling me, this is the next Hitler. This is going to be like the Holocaust. Folks, if they're using these events to justify killing millions of people, then you kind of have to say to yourself, don't I have a right to ask a question? But now that disease is spread, many areas cannot be questioned, like, you know, 9/11, the great financial crisis and too big to fail, the monkey herpes COVID of 2020, 10/7, George Floyd. Don't ask questions. Order from the menu, dummy. Order from the menu. Yeah. Dan, you're terrible. We have to believe what we're told. I know, I know. So, this is a story of an automotive part. Honda, Honda, Honda. Honda, Honda, Honda. It was one of those days. Life is a gas days. Our truck was moving, grooving towards the stars, but the car slowed, and the dials glowed and showed that the electricity, spectacular and fit on the fritz, Honda, Honda, Honda. Honda, Honda, Honda. Alas, no more gas for the road, slowed, towed, glowing light tonight, the alternator, it fails to fight. Fix that Honda, buddy, cussed and creamed. You were my powertrain hustler. I was your blame wagon. I kept the plane flying. You were lying with the Dane. Honda, Honda, Honda. Honda, Honda, Honda. I was stuck inside the wave. You turned me into a slave. I battled what I crave. You sent me to the grave. But the fix is in. It's fine. Another dine and dash from Ash with cash and the lash. We'll fix that. Honda, 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 oh, Honda powertrain. We will fix the transmission and engine. We'll replace spark plugs. We'll put in a brand new chip. Thank you, Pip. That was the guy's name. Honda, Honda. Honda, Honda, Honda. $600. No fucks given. We're living the true breed, spreading our seed. Taking heed of werewolves and witches, banshees and bears. Wolves and wonders. All thunder buried in glass. Bless all wheel drive. Bless the all wheel drive. Honda. Honda, Honda, Honda. The Meister, the warrior, the wizard of wheels, handed my brethren his papered state. We said, great, we went home late. We didn't have a date, so yes, it's best. And lonely before death, but the wheels still turn, Honda, Honda, Honda. The machine lives on. The machine lives on. I met a monkey general at Saxby's in Girlington, Virginia. He was eating the deluxe plate of sausage nuts and irredeemable bleeding. His eyes caught mine, and I was done feeding this burgle butt sandwich, this bloody honey bun, to the vacuum artists and turtle vendors. Honda, Honda. We gave chase to the Masonic hogs and won the battle. He left for France and I was condemned to wander these forgotten lands in search of peach mutton and fried dandruff soup. Did you know you can't spell the word police without the word lice? Hunda, hunda, hunda. And I stand for harpies and venison and fear. And I serve the Gumpton King in an age of meringue disgust. If you are onyx stone, standing all alone, I ask, are you dark matter? You glance, there's your chance to punch a white guy in the eye. Goodbye, goodbye, Honda, Honda, Honda. I want to drive around in the Honda all over town and shout at the women going by, hey bitch, I just made you pregnant. But the truck must work, or some jerk will pull me to the ground with a thud. That's the sound of my head splitting open, and there's no more cope. And I should have said nothing, nothing but Honda, Honda, Honda. I am your timber forger. You are my rainbow queen. I slept for 20 days. You gave me 20 lays. Honda, Honda. A woman is a Gergzergen. She stands watch over the pot of shame. Her lame mite out of sight. Oh, her mite. Just go in the kitchen. Make me a sandwich. Honda, Honda. Honda, Honda, Honda. So there is a uniform now for the Space Force, a new service dress uniform. It's all over social media. And before I talk about it, let's just be explicit. For quite a while now, I have described President Trump as a column of smoke. And if I've screwed up in the last couple of years, it's when I've taken him seriously, which I try not to do. But he has really become more than just a column of smoke. A little bit of PSYOP history. One of the first audio cuts, one of the first really big samples for the United States Army PSYOP people was babies crying. Yeah, babies crying. I mean, they did the stereophonic, the transistorized, the amplified, accentuated, frequency modulated babies crying. And they did. They enhanced it. They set it up so they could direct it at enemy forces. And I think they first tested this during the Korean War. And you'd say, well, Dan, what do you mean? I mean, literally, there are people in the military who have equipment to direct sound at the enemies. And it's not always babies crying. Sometimes you're trying to project the noise of tanks coming, stuff like that. And the equipment that I saw 30 years ago was pretty advanced. I have no idea what they have today. Chances are they could deploy an array of micro drones with speakers across the battlefield, and they could simulate almost any type of theatrical bullshit using that type of technology. And this is non-lethal. This doesn't kill anybody. This just confuses people. That type of technology was more or less ready to go about 15, 20 years ago. Now it's virtually guaranteed. PSYOP people could drop more or less relatively tiny, innocuous objects. They could look like pine cones. They could look like cigarette packages. They could look like a big old doobie, you know, the kind that Snoop Dogg would smoke. But inside is a radio receiver, a little computer, a speaker system, a microphone recorder. Yeah. The PSYOP stuff has become quite advanced. When you think about Donald Trump, understand he's like the babies crying. He's worse than just the column of smoke at this point. Every other day, there's some new absurd, the key word is absurd outrage. You know, renaming Lake Ontario to Lake America, talking about calling New Mexico New America, looking up at the moon, and like a little baby, baby, cry, cry, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, look at moon, moon. We're gonna call moon America. See those people walking there with names and families and such? We're gonna call them America. That turd in the bowl, I think that's also America. Everything is becoming America. Yeah. So now we get to this uniform, and it is outrageously silly, and it even says it's based upon a movie based on a book, right, Heinlein? Starship Troopers, I mean, it's just so silly. It's so many layers of meta-absurd cartoonery that taking it seriously on any level is dumb. But if you see it for what it is, it will piss people off. There are people, not me. Not me. I grew past my uniform size about 10, 15 years ago, so not me, and for other reasons as well. But there are people who served in the military who would be offended by this shit because it is so clownish. It's so fucking stupid. There are people that would get pissed off. And so when you look at something like this, it isn't really about whatever Trump is. I have no idea what Trump is. And that's a good example of where I'm ordering off the menu, you know. Lots of people will say things like, well, Trump's the Antichrist. Trump is a Manchurian candidate. You know, Trump, who knows what he is, but we should look at what he's doing. You know, when you're observing the universe, you don't really want to ask questions about hidden, mysterious things. You want to talk about things you can observe. And from what I observe, he's a big crybaby. And every day he gets bigger and bigger, like a nuclear bomb going off. Yeah, you know, naming the moon America sounds insane. But at some point in time, you hear stuff like that and you say, yes, it's crazy, but you know, it's President Trump. The best advice I can give at this point in time is try to ignore the noise. But there's so much of it, isn't there? And Trump being the giant crying baby, well, he's making a lot of the noise. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Ultimately, the Jedi mythos fails for one reason. There are no good bullies. There are no good bullies. There's no such thing as a good bully. Not really, if you think. And this one's a little hard to sort of unpack. So let's think about it. Somebody might come back to me and say, well, Dan, you know, given your belief system, you would prefer that people solve problems. Well, what if there's somebody in your neighborhood who's a bad bully, what then? And the answer isn't to create another bully. It is to defend yourselves. That's the answer. That's the answer to the bad bully. That's the answer to the neighbor that, you know, frankly, beats his wife, or the wife that beats their husband, or parents that beat their kids, is give a shit about your community and make decisions, moral, ethical decisions based on the circumstance. You don't have to create a bad bully, but you might have to work with your friends and neighbors to fix a problem. These are very different approaches. And when it comes to violence, nothing is clean. So when people say, I've got the clean answer, they're lying. There's no clean answer when it comes to violence and aggression. The best you can do is to isolate it and hope that it stops, or do what you can to help it stop. But folks, there is no clean answer. The people who believe in government don't have one, and the people who say we don't need the prisons don't really have a clean answer either. But when it comes to bullies, the idea that what you need is another strong person, another Superman, you know, a superhuman being, but that's good, like Superman, right? The good bully. Superman's terrible. Jedis are terrible. You think they're good because they spout a bunch of, you know, quasi-philosophical nonsense, but what they're really doing is going around the universe enforcing their will upon others because they think they see the whole picture. And isn't it the obvious conceit that they end up becoming Sith Lords because they don't see the whole picture? And that's kind of the point. There are no good bullies. There were no good Roman emperors. And if someone asks you who your favorite president is, was, whatever, who was your favorite president, Dan? I used to say Eisenhower, but people didn't really understand my answer, so I just no longer give an answer. But the simplest answer would be the best president ever is the one that realizes it's a dumb job and doesn't run for office. That's your great president. The rest are just, I don't know who they are. It's like Trump. I don't know who he is. I'm ordering off the menu, but what he looks like is an 800 billion ton crying baby. So you tell me what that is. Dan, you're crazy. I have a link to an article from Cairo 7. I'm not going to read the article. The group Squeeze was on tour and their bus ended up squeezing and killing somebody. And I have it under irony alert. It's not funny. It's not funny. People dying because they get squeezed by Squeeze's bus. It's not funny. Maybe it's the lack of irony here, really. This is an unironic situation where the bus that, you know, yeah. That's next topic. Next topic, Dan, you bastard. Okay. So there are more reports of bear attacks in recent weeks, and people have different explanations. I have an article link from king5.com dealing with a bear attack in Colorado. And the experts said, well, it's because, you know, there's not enough food and water. There's been a drought up in the mountains. This is basically true. If you read articles about sharks attacking people, bears attacking people, if you read articles about, you know, hawks and owls and other types of birds of prey, not just bald eagles, attacking small animals, it's probably because where they used to get their food, they can't get it any longer. And I know people don't want to believe that. They want to think the opposite. Oh, it's because they're doing so well. No. If they were doing well, they really, I don't know how to put this, but they don't really like our cancer squirrels. They would just assume not feed on the detritus of our techno, quote unquote, industrial chemical civilization. Problem is, we brought it to them. So, I don't know. You can go into that as much as you want to. I'm starting a new writing project. I barely started it, called Vegas Diary. Ostensibly, it's going to be a first-person... it's a diary, right? So it's going to be a first-person narrative about going through the collapse of Las Vegas into whatever it collapses into, in a situation where the fuel, the food, the water, and the electricity, all the above, are no longer functional and people eventually have to leave. And I barely started it. I put notes together. I'm setting it in the year 2030, which for some people might be too close, for others too far away. And we'll see if I get it done. I don't know. I've had some successes in recent years on writing projects, and I've had some failures. In terms of financial successes, I've never had one. I think the most I've made on an annual basis is about 75 cents from Amazon Kindle. And then I also have them attributing my stuff on Amazon because the publishing system and the attribution system are not the same system. Yay, yay, yay. They've attributed a lot of my stuff to some completely made up person that doesn't exist, which makes me think it's the Goat King, and I don't want to talk about that shithead. So, new writing project. Yay, yay, yay. This article comes from Cairo7.com. Headline, 101 cats found inside a Tacoma home. Humane Society of Tacoma now caring for 500 plus cats and kittens. This is written by Jake Chapman and it was published on September the 3rd. Tacoma police discovered 101 cats inside of a home off 29th Street Northeast during a welfare check on Tuesday. Rescuers removed 100 surviving cats from the home and transferred them to Taco Bell. I mean, Humane Society. While one cat died, that's 100 cats on the wall. Can you count them all? Tacoma police officers entered the home during a routine check and reported finding animals living in poor conditions. I have never been to a house with 101 cats in my 20-plus years of being here, said Shelby Boyd with the Tacoma Police Department. Wow. She noted that the animal control officers raised immediate concerns about the health of the animals. Animal control did say these cats were in rough conditions, blah, blah, blah. The rescue marks the third major feline extraction in recent weeks. There was 61 cats coming from a boat, 20 cats found in a van, 101 cats found in an apartment. And now the Humane Society of Tacoma is overwhelmed by cats. I'll let you guys look at the rest of this article if you want to. This cat story out of Tacoma is strange. It's weird. It's interesting. There's this pattern of these cases of people finding these cats. I'm going to propose that this is not a special story. Just as radical as my non-menu statement about Jimothy. You know Jimothy, the mutant raccoon that's taken Seattle by storm? Everybody loves Jimothy. But Jimothy gets seen in a lot of places, you know? And part of me wonders if Jimothy is so special. In fact, there's this part of me that wonders if Jimothy doesn't, you know, is kind of a cover story for something a little bit darker going on with the raccoon population. You know, Jimothy. Yeah, so who knows about Jimothy? It looks like a weird story to me, but the cat story is a little interesting too. And here's what I would say. During economic downturns, but I don't think there was an upturn since 2009, but during this long-term global depression that seems to never end, whenever there's a layoff, whenever there's people losing their homes, there are people falling through the economic cracks. And it's terrible that a lot of pets end up following them for the ride. Now, in these cases, this looks like hoarding, right? But do we really know what this was about? This could have been about selling cats, but even darker, folks, this could have been about eating cats. I mean, eating kitty cats. Making kitty cat chili. Making kitty cat roast. Did I tell you the character in my Vegas diary is a cook? And he has to get creative as the shipments stop. He's got to find protein to make the taco salad delight for the boomers who won't leave. They won't leave. They'll stay at the slots. They'll stay there until the last light goes out. Because they're chasing their dreams, buddy. So fill the buffet with barbecue cat. Fill the buffet with roasted cat mutton and creamy cat soup. Yeah. Folks, this could be a vision of the future. These could also be Schrodinger's cats, right? Who knows? Dan, you're terrible. You're talking about eating cats. You know that I wrote a song once, a PSA, about how cats could be food. And they could be. If you're hungry enough, you're going to eat just about anything, hopefully before you eat your dog, because I can't imagine eating a dog. I care about dogs too much. I have a link to an article, but also to my podcast from 2019 about homelessness in Seattle. I don't really want to talk about it. I think we're so close to the edge, to the verge at this point, that having this conversation is pointless. What I will say is this, a lot of people, not all people, but a lot of people who end up homeless are just people like you. They made a mistake. They got too close to the margin. They couldn't make their rental payment. And so they moved into their car. And then their car broke down, so they couldn't get to work, so they lost their job. So they moved into the street. And then they got really fucking depressed, so they started using drugs and they moved into the lifestyle of addict. And now they're just a person you want to intern someplace. You can put them in a camp on McNeil Island. 30 or 40,000, right? That's the only spot you need. You'll be fine, Seattle. Just intern. 30 or 40, maybe 50,000, you'll be fine. You'll clean up those streets. God forbid you call it a camp, because only one particular historical event gets to use the word camp. So don't call it a camp. Call it a vacation. You're going on vacation. You're visiting the farm. That's right, visiting the farm. If you think that you have the brain fog right now, if you think that you are experiencing muscle and joint pain, I want to propose to you that's not long COVID. It's not any monkey herpes variant. It could literally be the shit that's falling from the sky every fucking day. Now, I have gaslighter feds that follow me. So when I make statements like this, I usually get at least 3 or 4 emails within the hour, maybe a day, telling me, well, Dan, did you hear about this guy on YouTube? He says the people from Pluto have been pooping out dust. Dan, did you hear about this guy from YouTube? He's a Danish physicist. He says it's cosmic rays. Yeah, good luck with that. I have a link to something I've discussed a few times. It is a story. It could all be fiction, a lot like that great work that is probably apocryphal fiction called Report from Iron Mountain. And if you're not familiar with the Report from Iron Mountain, do your own research, but it basically refers to the period of the 1960s and conversations among the people that run America about whether or not we can have peace, whether peace is economically feasible, why it is we need to have war as a means of promoting production. It's kind of a scary vision of America. And it is considered fictional, apocryphal, that it really isn't, but it has that air of truth, that those kinds of conversations are had by people. Well, this is something about a guy named Deep Shield. Deep Shield is a person that spoke up about geoengineering in 2003, I think, or the early 2000s, to a person, to a, I guess, independent journalist, and started talking about what they were doing with the weather, with the atmosphere, with the climate, in terms of trying to control it. You can read it or not. I have a link to the latest Dane Wigington, and he actually reads a fair portion of it and talks about it, and I think that's a good resource to go to. But at this point in time, digging more into this isn't helpful because I just don't think it matters. I will say this absolutely, and you can quote me on it. The only thing that's going to stop geoengineering at this point is collapse. And if there is no collapse, it will simply continue. There you go. There you go, buddy. I went down. I brought back truths. I went down to all the sleuths and the thinkers. They threw me back, a huge attack. My woman was gone, they broke my bong. It's all a song, and we move on. Because I went down. I went down to Scompton. Met a hooker lover. Found out she was my sister's brother. Let's stop right there. Dan, that's just, it is like I'm living in Alabama. I know, like I live in Alabama. But, you know, the Olympic Peninsula is not far from. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The real heroes are never known, were never there, and didn't care. They're just heroes. The real heroes you do not hear or see. The real heroes just wanna be. The real heroes, they do the deed, not for greed, not for seed, not for the sight or the cheers of the crowd. The real hero doesn't do it out loud. We have a kind of cartoonish. And I say cartoonish because people will compare it to ancient Rome, but as shitty as Roman society was, and it was shitty, it was a corrupt, shitty grifter pirate society. People who glorify ancient Rome are, well, they're selling a narrative designed to promote what's going on right now. But at least it was more real. There was more skin in the game. You could kind of see how the average Roman really was part of the madness and the hell that was Rome, especially when there's political instability in Rome, which happened a lot more often than people like to talk about. It wasn't just about Julius Caesar, but people love to focus on JC, you know, Julius Caesar, because, hey, it simplifies things. Then the Republic was dead. But in reality, the Second Punic War probably killed the Roman Republic, and nobody wants to talk about it. Not really. So ancient Rome was a martial society, and they did glorify heroes. They created gods out of generals. They did that kind of thing. In a lot of cases, they took advantage of what can only be called a kind of lesser magic or mind control, ultimately. Well, we have the same thing going on today in America, but we've got movies, we've got songs, we've got magazines and the internet, we have video games, we have memes. We can take a person as a hero and amplify them up to the nth degree. And there are people who will come back and say, well, Dan, heroes are supposed to be people we model ourselves after. Okay, I mean, maybe. But on the other hand, and I don't know how to put this, wouldn't the real hero be somebody you do model yourself after, but ultimately you never really know for certain that they actually did anything great, that they were just a decent person you knew? I think the hero myth is problematic. It's problematic for lots of reasons. In American history, it's deeply corrupted. And a lot of folks will say, well, this person was a hero, or this person was a hero. I'd say maybe. In some cases, they might be right, but if you ask me, the real heroes are just not people you'll ever read about. Ever. Sorry. You're never going to read about them because the ultimate hero ethic, from my perspective, precludes it. To be a great hero, you really aren't doing it for acclaim. And so in a lot of cases, maybe most cases, you just never know. Okay, next topic. Yeah, whatever. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. On the verge, don't disturb the ignorant and the ill-informed with the truth. This might lead to your death. Yeah, that I think that's where we're at for at least a couple years now. I've said before that I believe you will see mothers and fathers watch their kids starve before they give up on the paradigm of waiting for the government to help them. They will be there staring at their phones that lost their charge weeks ago, hoping and praying that a magical helicopter shows up and drops MREs and water on their head. And it's sad. It's sad. It's sad. It's I don't know if I want to use the word tragedy, but it's sad and pathetic. But the reality is there are many people out there who care more about their belief systems than they do about themselves or others. They really do. They think their belief system is so paramount that they'll watch people get harmed by it. If you want to know what is necessary to survive at this point, we need a certain level of mental flexibility. The problem is, and Thomas Kuhn talks about this in The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, which I've talked about before, when you get close to that shift, when you're on the verge, people become very solid, worse than firm, worse than stubborn, sclerotic, diseased-like in terms of how completely unable to bend they are. They're not willing to open their eyes. They're not willing to hear. They don't want to know. If there's a tidal wave heading at them and they're having their champagne or their mimosa and they're hanging out with friends, they just don't want to know. And I've talked about this before, there's a kind of almost acceptable ignorance out there that you can recognize and say, well, I get it. I mean, what would you do if you're sitting there drinking your mimosa and a tidal wave's about to kill you? And what could you actually do? But what if the tidal wave could be seen from 1, 5, 20, 50 years away? What if you had 50 years? Then sitting there, sipping your mimosa looks a lot, well, it looks like a little bit of a vignette or a skit from a Monty Python movie, like, you know, in the Holy Grail, where the dude, the guard, the castle guard, is watching this knight come across the field, and it takes, like, forever. And yet, they're not really getting ready to defend themselves. Well, that's how dumb it would look. If you had 50 years and you're still drinking your mimosa, then that's not just the kind of acceptance of a current Stuns character in the film Melancholia. That is the willing ignorance to just not even try. Well, we're not in that place anymore. We're on the verge. So at this point, even the most rational people you know are going to hold on to something like, well, if we can just impeach Trump. Impeach Trump. That's an escape. That's a Hollywood ending, right? And there'll probably be a Hollywood movie, right? The Trump impeachment. You know? We can vote for someone else. Vance. Vance would be president. Maybe Vance is a good guy. What about the Democrats, Dan? What about the socialists? You know, what about the libertarians? Yeah, well, that's a limited hangout. What about Ron Paul, Dan? Can't they wheel him out of the crypt and say, hey, here's this guy. He's not dead yet. On the verge, pushing people about their beliefs could actually put your life at risk. Because this is not a time of sanity. This is an important message I hope some of you hear. This is not a time of sanity. In fact, we probably turned into the realm of the insane about 18 to 24 months ago. And every day that Trump says something like, you know, oh, the Amazon River? Well, that's now the Trump River. Oh, you call your country Ecuador? No, it's going to be called Donaldtopia. Or we'll drop a bomb on you. Donaldtopia. Wah, wah, wah. Wah. On the verge, folks, it's more dangerous than most people realize. In part because very few people have gone through their stages of grieving. Very few people have even attempted to ask the question, where are we headed? Very few people have approximated their future to what's probably going to happen. Most people are still living in a post-scarcity singularity. If you live until 2045, you can live forever, type Ray Kurzweil reality of the Jetsons and flying cars and robots. And I'm telling you, folks, straight up, pretty much all that's bullshit. It doesn't mean that technology doesn't kind of exist. We're just not going to get there from here. We're going to culminate. Okay, in military science terms, we do not have the resources, the reserves, the fuel, or anything to get to our objective. And even if we get on the objective, we'll be depleted. We will culminate. We're never going to get there, folks. Nobody wants to approach that thought. So we live in a kind of Bitcoin, cocaine, you know, rehash of the 80s fantasy. On the verge, you're not going to shake people from that. They're going to think that Trump is Ronald Reagan. You know, they're going to think that truly things have never been better, and they're always only going to get better every single day. And if you tell them it's not happening, you could end up getting harmed. So good luck. Dan, what? What you? You what? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The reality of the Iran conflict is a function of how many missiles, how many Iranian missiles were launched at Tel Aviv today. So folks, I don't think Iran has launched a single missile at Tel Aviv since early April. And you could say, well, Dan, that's not weird. It is kind of weird. It's weird. In fact, the entire conflict looks weirder every day, just like the Ukraine conflict started looking kind of weird after the first 90 days. This looks weird. Now you could say, well, Dan, it's because of this and because of that. I can't think of one good reason, especially given the IDF continues to attack the resistance in Lebanon and Syria and Gaza and West Bank, I can't think of any reason why they stop, except to say the whole thing looks scripted. The whole thing looks scripted, just as scripted as Ferguson in 2014. If you know, you know, just as scripted as the Ukrainian conflict. It looks scripted. And as a scripted conflict, people could still be dying. But like 9/11, just because a lot of people died doesn't mean you know what's going on, folks. The blood sacrifice is part of what they do to make it seem real. But if you can see past the blood sacrifice, what you see is the reality of it, which is a lot of holes, a lot of context that doesn't make sense, whether it's 10/7, whether it's the Iran conflict, the fact that for several months now, the Iranians haven't launched a single missile at Haifa or Tel Aviv, you can at least recognize it's weird. Next topic. Well, Dan, it's totally normal. It's totally... Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Don't judge a crook by his lover. Don't judge a crook by the others. Don't judge a crook as he takes his time. Yeah, don't judge a crook by his lovers. I gotta tell you, I'm not sure what I was thinking on that one. Oh, there's the helicopter, if you can hear it, coming for good old Dan. Coming to take me away. Don't judge a crook by his lovers. Gonna come back one day from my limited prison stay. Yeah. Don't judge a crook by his lovers. I have so many lovers, so many. David Copperfield. I'm going to read a little bit of this article, and then we'll talk about David Copperfield. Headline, and this is coming from The Guardian, Epstein and magician David Copperfield appeared to have very close relationship, newly released files say. FBI agents investigating David Copperfield in 2007 said that a clear connection existed between the famous delusionist and Jeffrey Epstein, according to documents released by the Department of Justice last week in the latest tranche of the Epstein files. So I'm going to stop here. Do I believe that the weakest in society, children, the elderly, in many cases, the veterans who are broken by war, the weakest in society, the people that don't have resources to really fight back, the homeless, do I believe that they've been targets of governments throughout history? And the simple answer is yes, okay? These are the people that are desperate. These are the folks that will do anything for a buck. And so they represent a population of people that can be used and abused, ultimately by the government. And this also does mean children, and probably in a lot of cases, undocumented. Orphan children, children that have nobody that cares about them. And so they get pulled into the system. And you could say, well, under good circumstances, like in Denmark, it's only the CIA at psychiatric labs, blah, blah, blah. And that's a real story that the CIA experimented during MKUltra on Danish kids. And I think it lasted a lot longer than they say MKUltra did. So there you go. You can go to Denmark and let the disadvantaged orphans get experimented on by Langley people. I believe that children have been victimized, and I believe 2020 might have been the greatest period of child victimization in human history. And I know that sounds like a crazy statement, but if you understand what the COVID allowed, it allowed people, again, getting to the illusionist David Copperfield, the illusion of COVID allowed people that want to abuse kids to put masks on the kids. So you really couldn't see why they were crying, or even if they were crying or scared. It allowed them to stay in lockdown and shut in. No other adult was checking in. Nobody, even the neighbors who suspected, didn't suspect because they were too focused on the monkey herpes. And this lasted about a year. And so for about a year, America's kids and probably kids around the world were victims of abusers. I don't think we remotely understand how much damage was done. And folks, I wish I could say this is the worst story coming out of 2020, but it's not. Now we're being told little drips of truth about Epstein. First, to repeat, I don't know who or what Jeffrey Epstein was. You know, with a lot of clandestine operations, the name itself is a project name. He might not have been the person you think he is, and he definitely could still be alive. If you're playing a role, you know, if you're participating in deep cover, and our government does this all the time, okay, they put people into situations with the mafia, with various organizations. They have informants, they have people they pay, but they also have people they construct, people they build, they create, non-existent entities to infiltrate other organizations. And this is a matter of police work in the United States of America. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. So if you ask yourself, what could Jeffrey Epstein be? He could just be a kind of Donnie Brasco. Except for instead of going deep into the mafia, Jeffrey Epstein was at the center of elite pedophilia. Now, does this mean that he was controlled by some country? Probably. Do we really know which country? Maybe. Maybe we know. It looks like Mossad. It looks like the State of Israel. But folks, this entire story could be just more of a scam. Now, does that mean David Copperfield wasn't sketchy? Folks, listen, that's not what I'm saying. It just means that the story itself might not be even remotely close to the real story. And so you need to be careful. You also need to accept the possibility that a lot of truth is being dumped on you right now for the same reason that Donald Trump looks like a big giant crying baby. They want to overwhelm you. They want to give you so much emotive, traumatic, destructive, social garbage chaos that you can't think straight. And already, a lot of people are holding on to their paradigms like their life jackets, when in reality, they're big anchors, and it'll just cause them to sink to the bottom. And you throw on top of this the Jeffrey Epstein and the David Copperfield and every revelation, and then the next day, Trump says, you know what, I'm renaming the Sun. This is a White House announcement. This is a White House announcement. This is an emergency message. I, President Trump, am renaming the Sun to Trump. And then you can worship the Trump. You can pray the Trump rises the next day. Anywhere the word sun is used in a book that's at the Library of Congress, I've told them you have to go in with crayons and write Trump. Hey, you know the Declaration of Independence. My name is President Trump. I'm going to sign the declaration with a big old crayon. Wah, wah. Now I'm on the declaration. Yeah. Folks, David Copperfield, the story about David Copperfield could be true. And my suggestion would be focus on the things that you can actually have an impact on, okay? Your current economic situation, that's important because you have to eat. You have to keep the electricity on. You have to do the things you got to do. If you have the resources, ask yourself this question. Do I live in a city? If I live in a city, can I move someplace that's less populated? That's it. At this point in time, I can't tell you to find an ideal location because it's too close. It's the verge. But if you've got any common sense, at least you can ask the question, if things kind of go sideways, can I live here? Can I exist here? Are my neighbors people I could trust? Are they people who could turn on me? And if you're asking me, well, Dan, are you making sure your situation? No. I already figured out my situation years ago. My situation is kind of like just going to happen. I don't want to go into the details, but there is no bunker for Dan. There is no safe haven. There is currently a bit of a community, but the community is measured in single digits, and it's not so big that I think it increases my odds of survival. But at least I live in a small town. So we can go with that for now. Dan, next topic, right? Here, okay. So I have an article from king5.com about somebody who mailed a $50 tip to a waitress. I'm not going to read this. You can read it if you want to. Call it a happy, positive story. I really don't know what to tell you about this one. It feels like a kind of trauma monkey, but I just don't want to explain how. So Donald Trump said something about a week ago, and frankly, it felt like he was telling the truth. He said that the blockade was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And again, Dan, why is that quote important to you? Because it is potentially a truthful statement. The blockade is unbelievable. The current situation with the Iran war is kind of unbelievable. The fact that Iran hasn't launched a missile at Tel Aviv or Haifa since the first week of April, kind of fucking unbelievable. And when people give me their explanations, it looks nuttier. So it's not that he's telling the truth. It's like broken clocks, folks. He inadvertently uttered a statement that could be interpreted with an air of truth, okay? Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. A magician is just a lazy witch. Yeah. You are just a lazy witch, David. Or who's that mind freak guy? David Blaine, he's another one, right? A lazy witch. Whatever. I don't care about that. And here is a quote from Dr. Freckles. I am like bacon grease mixed with gold. What do you mean, Dr. Freckles? I don't know. Because really, would you eat bacon grease mixed with gold? But, you know, if there was a bacon made out of gold that you could eat, but it pooped out as gold and you could store it in your safe, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I think people would buy the bacon. And that is basically our podcast for today. I don't know, folks. Trump is a column of smoke, but he's more than that. He's more than a smoke grenade at this point. He is quite literally a big crying baby. And I don't mean this in some simplistic way. He is tapping into every day, every kind of trauma that just about every American and every demographic has. And by tapping into these traumas, he's creating a situation that's a little bit bizarre, to tell you the truth. I don't know. A little bit bizarre. He is tapping into a situation that is strange. It is Monday, September the 7th, 2026. It is 8:51 a.m. And there is a link to donate to the podcast if you want to. I don't think anybody that listens to my podcast has any money to speak of. So it's sort of absurd to talk about, but if you happen to be a new listener and you want to donate, you can. You don't have to. It's why I do this at the end. Maybe I shouldn't even ask at all, but then someone might email me and say, well, Dan, you know, somebody might want to donate, and I don't know who that person is. I really don't. It's not that I'm trying to belittle myself or say that it's not worthy. Folks, the real people out there are trying to get by, and a big proportion of them don't want to know, okay? I've said this before. Dr. Freckles has said this before. The one-eyed person in the kingdom of the blind is hated, despised. Nobody wants to hear it. We're on the verge, folks. Have a great rest of your day.